This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up, John Jastrzemski of SNY Weekend Morning Line will join us. We will go over Major League Baseball, awards, futures, some World Cup, some NFL. It is that time of the year where just a little bit of everything, and we all kind of wait until football season. About 5 or 6 weeks from now, you get the Hall of Fame game. So good time to fill in the gaps, good time to prep. And, it'll be here before you know, especially with college now and all of these guys with the transfer portals and new coaches. It is such a laborious, it's a labor of love, but it is such a process to get ready for the college football season. And the NFL, less so, but it's, like I said, labor of love. So that time of the year where a little Wimbledon, little World Cup, baseball, and before you know it, there will be football on our TV. And I did not think I would be opening any of these podcasts at any point with Algeria versus Austria. And I'll get to some baseball here in a second, but that game on Saturday night, which I happened to be watching the end of it. And for people that don't know, that was a situation where a draw was good for both teams. Neither team wanted to lose, but neither team wanted to win. A draw was perfect for both of them. So a lot of people thought, you know what, probably under, but a draw, 0-0, maybe 1-1. But could certainly see a scenario where they just kick the ball around for 90 plus minutes and everyone goes home happy, 0-0. Well, you got your draw, but you got it in the most roundabout way possible. It was almost like, and it was so similar in so many ways, except for the final result to Chargers Raiders 4 or 5 years ago, that final week of the season, the final game of the year on that Sunday night where a tie put the Chargers and the Raiders both in the playoffs. If they won, they got in, but the loser would be out. And people thought, maybe there'd be shenanigans. And it took a lot for that game to come to fruition. Anyway, if you remember, the Jags had to upset the Colts as huge favorites, and they won pretty convincingly. Wentz was the quarterback for the Colts. And another one or two results had to happen. And everything, and some people had some monster parlays tied to this, everything had to happen to set up this scenario. And people were just, interested, excited to see how bizarre this would be if both teams went into the game knowing, hey, a tie puts us in the playoffs, and thought maybe they just take a knee for 60 minutes, which, Goodell, I guess, talked to the teams and said, hey, no shenanigans, none of that. But they almost tied anyway, and there was a scenario at the end where the controversy over the Chargers, they called a timeout. Looked like the game might end in a tie, but very similar to Algeria, Austria. And we'll pick it up from where it was 2-2, where both teams scored right before the half. Both teams scored kind of early in the half. You thought it 2-2, it might just die. The game might die and just end it 2-2, which would make sense. And it was looking that way. I think someone had the stat 110 passes by Algeria at one point straight, where extra time, 90 plus minutes, they're just passing it back and forth. They're very happy to go into, get on the buses and get off the field 2-2. And they're just no urgency, just passing it back and forth, killing time. And they're going to walk off the field happy, and everyone goes home happy. Except they score out of nowhere after just kicking the ball around at 2-2 in extra time. They score, they go up 3-2. Looks like Austria is going to be eliminated, except Austria, with only a minute left in extra time, they come back and they score. So it lands 3-3. Some of the odds on this, Todd Furman had this. He does a great job with Bet the Board podcast. I know he was on for years, and he comes on VSiN a lot. The draw was minus 100,000 in extra time. And then once Algeria scored, the draw became 100-1. So just the wild swings in odds that occurred there. Just, you're never going to see anything like it if you just look at the chart. Just very bizarre. But that was a wild ending. If you had the draw, you got there in a very roundabout way. And man, I can't even imagine the bets you could have had on the alternate totals live late in that game, where it looked like it was just a fait accompli that it was going to be a 2-2 final and just get off the field. Everyone's happy, but a wild twist at the end. But three matches here on a Monday: Brazil minus 280 over Japan plus 215, Germany minus 900 over Paraguay, and then Netherlands minus 170 over Morocco. Say, anytime, it's the summer when I'm doing 5 minutes on an Algeria Austria soccer match, but I got 5 minutes out of it. And from a betting perspective, that was absolutely fascinating to watch on Saturday night. Team USA plays Wednesday. They are minus 270 on the three-way line over Bosnia, as everyone now. Just all excited with U.S. enthusiasm. 30-1 to win the cup, plus 100 to reach the quarters, which is kind of the point now where if you got there, you'd be happy. Anything more than that is certainly gravy. But you kind of, if you're a U.S. fan, you're certainly hoping a final is possible here for this Team USA after this great run. Plus 400 to reach the semis here for the U.S., plus 1,200 to reach the finals. So three games on a Monday. Like I said, there's been some juice. There's been some enthusiasm with this tournament. And having these games in the U.S. and having the U.S. do well and make a little bit of a run here and be better than they've been in past years has certainly added to it. We'll do some baseball coming up with John Jastrzemski. We'll get his thoughts on the World Cup too. It's interesting look at Major League Baseball from an awards perspective as we are just about dead way to the halfway point. And I had Steve Phillips on Friday. If you didn't hear that, I encourage people to go back and listen to that. It was interesting. I asked him if you're the Yankees, what would you do? And he said, I'm calling the Padres. I'm convincing them Mason Miller. You don't need him. You got enough relief pitching. I'll give you Spencer Jones. I'll give you Dominguez. Give me Mason Miller. He had some really interesting thoughts on where Scooble might go. So I encourage people to go back and listen to that. But if you look at MLB from just the awards, it's unusual. Like I said, halfway through the season, yeah, it's not early, but there's still so much time left. You've got a lot of these awards where you've got an odds-on favorite. Alvarez, minus 145, AL MVP. NL MVP, Otani minus 1600. Cy Young in the AL, Schwitler minus 115. In the NL, Mizorowski's minus 225. Rookie of the Year, McGonagall for the Tigers, minus 180 for the American League. National League, Weatherholtz minus 155. So you have these six major awards where you have odds on favorites, and there's still so much time left, man. I would not be laying a price with this much time to go. And you can go back, and there's so many examples of this with awards. The odds change so quickly. The odds are not really reflective of, they're just kind of guesses because, you know, it's hard to know what these voters are thinking. There's so much time left. I'll go back 3 or 4 years. Robbie Ray was 100-1 to win the Cy Young at the All-Star break. At the All-Star break. So still a good few weeks from past where we are now. He won the award just a couple weeks ago in hockey, the Conn Smythe, the NHL, you know, playoff MVP. Stahl was 100-1, I think, going into game 3 or game 4, going to that Tuesday night. And by Sunday, he won the damn award. So these things change so quickly. These narratives change so quickly. The managers of the year, which are not widely available, those are the only things where you get plus prices on the short shots. Will Venable, who I'll give a shout out. Kobe Marchio came on this podcast, I think, in March and was all about the White Sox. And the White Sox are a good story. They're a fun team. It's almost like the Indians in Major League, those movies where there's just an upstart bunch out of nowhere, were awful 2 years ago, 50-1 in some spots to win the division. They are now, you know, co-short shots with Cleveland to win the division, but their manager plus 190, Will Venable to win the division. I think he was in the 50-60-1 range. Colby gave them out at long, long numbers. So that one is very live, I think. Cash, the Rays manager, plus 200. Kotze, the A's manager, plus 550. Steven Vogt, plus 850. I think Vogt's won this award 2 years in a row. You can't win this 3 years in a row. It's just impossible. I would not bet Vogt. In the National League, Weiss, plus 270. Mattingly, plus 420. Marmol, plus 500. The Cardinals manager, Pat Murphy, 7-1. He's another guy. He's won it 2 years in a row, which never happens in football. In both guys last year in baseball won it 2 years in a row. You can't win it a third year in a row, I wouldn't think. McCullough of Miami's plus 850. Butera, the Nationals manager, is 9-1. So that, I mean, if I had to take a shot in any market, like I said, I'm not laying odds on in any of these markets, but manager of the year, you know, it depends who you think. I think you still probably have to make the playoffs. I don't think, like, if St. Louis, all right, they're having a good season. Washington's having a good season. Miami's having a surprising season. And by the way, Miami, most wins in June was 80-1. Mike Palm, the VP of Circa, told me they got exactly zero bets on Miami to win June. And heading into Sunday, they are the leader in the clubhouse with just a couple days left. They played very well, but I think you need to make the playoffs here. So Weiss at plus 270. I don't think the narrative is there. I don't know that that's a justified favorite. Mattingly would be a sentimental choice. I'll tell you, if Philly won the division, I could see them giving it to Mattingly. Everyone loves him. You know, he's come up short so many times in World Series, you know, never won a World Series, never won with the Yankees, all of these things. Everyone loves, I mean, nobody, there's nobody that doesn't love Don Mattingly. I could see taking a shot at him at plus 420. I mentioned Kelly, the Pirates manager, plus 950. The narrative would be there with him if the Pirates could make the playoffs. But the problem is they're 41 and 42 entering play on Sunday. They just, and there's plenty of time left. There's obviously half the season left. I just don't know. Are they going to win enough games to get in the playoffs? If they did, he would be very alive. But if I had to bet anything right now, it'd probably be Mattingly at plus 420, just because, again, everyone loves them. I could see them chasing Atlanta down in that division. And, you know, plus 220 to win the division, I'd probably rather have the plus 420 on Mattingly. As far as the American League, I think Venable is the rightful favorite. Same scenario, though. Do you have to get in the playoffs if you're the White Sox? I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're actually going to win that division. But that price sort of mirrors it. I think plus 160 to win the division, plus 190 to make the playoffs. I mean, their win total was in the 60, 65 and a half. And here they are halfway through the season, leading the AL Central. We can Kotze, they've fallen off a little bit. The A's have, you know, if the A's ever made the playoffs, he'd be a right, you know, he'd be in the mix. But you know, Boone 10-1, not betting him. The Orioles manager, no chance. I think that market looks a little bit better. Like I said, Mattingly of all those looks pretty good. If you, for whatever reason, still have belief in the Pirates, Kelly, plus 950, that's what the preseason price was. I get that, but you got to have the Pirates cooperate and win some games. And Skeens has not been good. The Pirates, hard to believe, have lost the last eight starts for Skeens, which is just almost unthinkable. A lot of it's not no run support, but they have he hasn't pitched great, and he wasn't great on Friday night. As the Reds beat him, and he got beat up pretty early on. But coming up, we will talk baseball, we'll talk awards, NFL, World Cup. We'll do a little bit of everything with John Jastrzemski. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast.
Back to Shoulda Bet More on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we are back. Shoulda Bet More podcast. You can catch him SNY VSiN weekend morning line and plenty of VSiN shows recently. It is John Jastrzemski. JJ, what's up, man? A little doubleheader today. What's going on?
A doubleheader indeed. For you, anything, Will. We're fired up to be here. Last weekend in June, hard to believe, but football will be here before you know it. A lot cooking. So what's up, man?
Yeah, we'll do some football. I want to start with baseball, though. And, you know, we're recording this before Yankees, Red Sox, the fourth game of the series. But the first three games did not go well. Feels like this is an annual thing with the Yankees and their slump. You know, on one hand, you don't want to overreact. It's a long season. They're dealing with injuries. Stanton, Judge, Fried, on the other hand, there's still just a distrust among fans. And I know you experienced this, you know, dealing with Yankee fans, just with fans in this team. They haven't won in a while. It's like, show me in October. Where do you come down here? Panic for the Yankees? Or is this team going to be just fine and don't overreact?
I'm not overreacting with this one. Look, sooner or later, your offense is going to struggle without Aaron Judge. It was amazing they were continuing to score runs with him being out of the lineup. You got great production from Goldschmidt. Ben Rice is playing like an MVP. Bellinger has been very productive, although if you peel back the layers with Cody, he's been one of the best players in baseball when he plays at home. When you take him away from Yankee Stadium, he's been a different guy. But look, the Yankees are going to have a little bit of a slump here. And I know the fans, and I'm a part of this contingent, has labeled this June swoon a thing, and it has been a thing for the Yankees over the last couple of years. I just chalk this up to a bad series against the Red Sox. That's what it's been. They haven't scored any runs. They didn't get a well-pitched game out of Cole. Schwitler got bad defense behind him on Thursday, which set a terrible tone. And here's the best thing they have going for them, Will. They had a lousy weekend. I know Tampa's made up some ground. Other than Tampa, everybody else in the American League stinks. The Yankees got plenty of time to get it right between now and the playoffs. And in this American League, I think that they will.
I had Steve Phillips on Friday, and I asked him, I said, hey, if you're Cashman, what throw out some names. Who are you prioritizing? How are you handling the deadline? He threw out Matt Chapman, said, you know what, lengthen the lineup. Good defense at third, righty bat. Not only lengthen the lineup, you balance the lineup. But he said something interesting. He said, you know what? I'm going to call the Padres and convince them, try to convince them. You guys have enough relief pitching. You have Jason Adam. You have Morahone. Give me Mason Miller. You need some power. You need some pop. I'll give you Dominguez, and I'll give you Spencer Jones. I thought that was fascinating. I don't know that the Padres would do it, but I'll ask you the same question. You're Cashman, the deadline. Do you prioritize starting pitching? That would be the one thing that would concern me over this past week or so is Cole. And now Fried's hurt. We'll see if he gets back. Cole has been shaky. But where are you deploying your resources? Relief pitching, a bat, a starting pitcher. What are some names here you'd be interested in if you're Cashman?
Listen, I love that Mason Miller idea. I'm way more in line with the idea of the Yankees making a move for a big closer than like pursuing Tarek Skubal. I think their starting rotation is going to be fine. Between Schlitler, Cole, the guy is coming back off of Tommy John surgery. And I think the problem is, Will, if he was giving you these starts immediately and then you saw a couple of the dominant starts later, the talking conversation around him would be drastically different because it'd be, oh, he's coming back from Tommy John. He's getting his feet wet. His command's not there. But because he wowed everybody his first couple of starts, now that we're getting a couple of clunkers, I think people are just getting a little too crazy there. And Fried is coming back. As far as I know, he's coming back. So your rotation is Schlitler, Cole, Fried, Rodon in some sort of order. You're okay there. I'd love a big closer. They need a catcher too. Desperately need a catcher. So Ryan Jeffers of the Twins, Christian Vasquez if the Astros go and move him. Any sort of help, and specifically a right-handed hitting catcher. That is something I have to address. Chapman's not a crazy name. The only thing is you're going to have to probably involve Ryan McMahon in that, I would assume, just because, like, you're taking on a pretty big contract with Chapman. I love his glove. He doesn't strike out a lot. I don't love that, but he'd hit seventh or eighth in this order, and he'd be a much better version of Ryan McMahon. So from that standpoint, I like it.
Is there any value in the American League? I mean, we were talking about it. It's such a wide open league. It's such a, watered down league where you just, you got only a couple teams with a positive run differential. Yankees are 2-1, Mariners plus 400, Rays plus 700, Rangers plus 900, Blue Jays and Guardians plus 1300, White Sox plus 1700. So are the Astros, Orioles 25-1, 30-1 for the A's. If I gave you a $100 free bet to use on anyone there, where would you go with it?
Okay. Let's think this through. Yankees, no value, plus 180. That ship has sailed. Can't bet Cleveland. They play in the American League Central. They don't have Ramirez. Hard pass on them, even though the number is really good. Honestly, Will, I'm going to give you two teams. Texas, because they got DeGrom and Eovaldi, and I'm getting 10-1. And maybe they get healthier with the offense. The other one is last year's AL champ. And they've been bad. Like, there's nothing about the Blue Jays that has indicated they're going to be a team that's dangerous this year. But you're asking me number. I don't love the number for Tampa. I don't love the Seattle's not bad at plus 440, but let's think bigger. I would go Texas at 950, Toronto at plus 1300.
Texas, they've gotten me for now a year and a half. I thought last year there was some value. This year, it's just DeGrom, Eovaldi, some of the other pitchers with some pedigree. It's just Lankford's always in and out of the lineup. Seager's always in and out of the lineup. I get it. I've got tickets on them. I just, man, something about them just leaves me feeling a little empty. You just keep getting burned with them. Let me ask you this. The six playoff teams, I've done this exercise with some guests. It's fascinating in the American League. Put the Yankees in.
Definitely.
Let's fill out the other five. Who's your central winner?
Wow. I still think it's Cleveland.
Okay. West winner.
Seattle. That's an easy one for me.
Three wild cards.
Tampa's got to be there. Record's too good. They're not going to fall off. We need two more, huh?
Yeah.
God. I gave you Texas, so I feel like I have to give you Texas. Here's what I'm going to do. Let's look at the old run differential. That, to me, is usually a good way to do this. Who is kind of exceeding expectation right now? Toronto's run differential stinks. Texas should be better than their record. The A's have really fallen off, and they're getting clobbered. They're getting clobbered in these games. So I gave you... There's three teams, right? So I went Yankees, Guardians, Mariner, Tampa, Texas. You know what? The hell with it. Let's say Chicago.
Okay.
Let's say the White Sox. Sure.
Where are you with Scooble? Where do you think he ultimately ends up?
Philadelphia Phillies.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You've come around. That was my little sleeper team too.
I thought the Padres.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to get cold feet on that. And if it's Phillies or Brewers.
Okay.
Because I think the Brewers actually make a lot of sense. And I'll tell you why they make a lot of sense. If you're them, you know you're not getting... Now, the economics of the sport could be totally different in a year or 2 years, and this conversation could be null and void. But let's say we're living in a similar situation to what we're living in now as far as economics in baseball. The Brewers can't get guys like that in free agency. They have Mizorowski. They have a pretty good team. They've been in the playoffs a bunch. You take a shot. Hey, I'm going to try to have a team that has Scooble, that has Miz, that has Harrison. Let's see if we can win a World Series. Maybe this is our shot to do it.
NL, Dodgers are just about even money, which is crazy to think about, but I guess not too crazy. Braves plus 500, Brewers plus 550, the Phillies plus 650, the Cubs are 10-1. Is there a bet to be made there? And, you know, it's something I've been talking about. Man, Phillies down to plus 220 to win the division. You've missed the best prices. I would not be shocked if they caught Atlanta, but any of those numbers intrigue you here in the final minute or so.
Yeah, I think Braves or Phillies. Those would be the two. In the National League East, Phillies because of their pitching rotation and a lot of guys who have been there before, and Atlanta can slug with the Dodgers. Those are the two teams I'd like.
Who do you think wins the NL East? Do you think Atlanta hangs on?
Atlanta hangs on, because I also think they'll add to the team too.
Yeah, it's just, boy, Acuna is another one of these guys, kind of always in out of the lineup. It doesn't sound like he's going to be back to the All-Star break. It's, boy, these seasons are so long where it feels like Atlanta in the first couple weeks, the first month, just went run and hid, and you look up and it's like, oh, it's only, you know, 4.5, 5 games with about half the season, which is quite the gap. I talked about him at 4-1 in past weeks, and I just didn't pull the trigger. And you know how that goes, JJ, when you're eyeing a bet and just sometimes you don't even know why you bet something or why you didn't bet something or why you bet something else. And it just never got around to making that, which is frustrating because I do think Philly is very live to make this interesting here in the NL East. When we come back, we'll do a little bit maybe on the Mets. We'll switch over to football. We got some other things to cover. This is the Shoot a Bit More podcast. Remember, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern. It's hit your feed. So we'll be back. Do a little more. John Jastrzemski, SNY, VSiN. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To Shoulda Bet More on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we're back. Shoulda Bet More podcast. John Jastrzemski. JJ, we got to mention it. The Mets. I don't know if you realize this. Not going well for the Mets. Hasn't gone well for the last year. It's amazing. This team was 45-24 last June. They have been awful since. Before we get to how to fix it, did any part of you see this coming this year with the Mets?
To this extreme? No, of course not, Will. And listen, I didn't love everything about their offseason. I thought they made a monumental mistake in not bringing back Pete Alonso, who plays every day and does nothing but mash. And I laugh when I hear a team with the richest owner in the sport talk about year 5 and year 6 of the contract. Who gives a rat's ass about what that contract looks like for Pete Alonso when you know he's going to do nothing but produce? So they got that wrong. That being said, Will, look at the odds at the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year, it was the Dodgers and some mix of Phillies Mets or Mets Phillies as far as second and third within the National League as far as the odds are concerned. So never in my wildest dreams did I think the Mets on June 28th would be double-digit games under 500, firing a manager, and being absolutely lost with no hope to the point that they're like north of 100-1 to win a pennant, for goodness sake. So no, I did not see this coming.
how do you fix it? Where do you go? Because on one hand, you can't just do, I mean, it's always easy as a fan or just anyone say, hey, just blow it up, sell, rebuild. You can't really do that. You got Soto in his prime, Lindor maybe a little past his prime, but you got two Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame players pretty much, you know, in their prime. You can't just say, you know what, we'll trade everyone and we'll worry about it. 2-3 years will be good for now. Where do you go? You want to trade some guys that you can. You probably trade Peralta, maybe a reliever, but where do you think, you know, how do you fix this here with the Mets?
Well, it's a great question. There are a lot of things to fix. Look, David Stearns had a reputation of being able to build starting pitching staffs with the Milwaukee Brewers and finding guys around the edges. Hasn't happened. I know Clay Holmes was maybe that guy before the injury, but their overall pitching depth stinks. The minor leagues, they were counting on guys to help them. Hasn't happened. So as far as like what their plan for the deadline should be, I think that's simple. Guys who are not going to be a part of your long-term vision, they go. Freddy Peralta is in a contract year. He should go. Relievers that probably will help a contending team. Brooks Raley, A.J. Minter. There are always teams looking for lefty relievers. They should go. Luke Weaver's an interesting one. There's a case to be made to keep him for next year because, hey, you want to have a competitive team. He's pitching really well. He's got a good track record as a good reliever in the sport. My counter would be relievers are very fickle. And if there is a team that's willing to go and give you a good chunk for what Luke Weaver is giving you right now with this scoreless streak, which is through the roof, I'd be willing to listen. But look, Bichette is going to opt into his player contract for next year. It's $40-something million. I don't think he's getting that on the open market. I would expect him to be back. Soto's going to be back. Lindor's going to be back. That's the infrastructure of your team. You kind of got to hope that some of those pieces around the edges, the young outfielders, maybe, you know, trying to change the look and the feel of the infield around Francisco Lindor just looks much better than it is right now.
72.5, the updated win total, which is hard to believe. Over or under?
I wouldn't take the over, would you?
Probably not.
How can you? Because what's the incentive here? It's such a low total that in theory they should be able to hit it. But what's the incentive for these guys? How many more games is Lindor playing? You know what I mean? The Soto at some point, I know Soto plays every day, but if there's more nagging injuries and the team is out of it, does he say in like August and September, hey, maybe it's time to shut it down? That's where you're really playing with fire if you want to get frisky with an over alt total at 71.5. I would not do it.
I want to get your thoughts on this, and I don't think we talked about this on the Sunday show. These awards, NL Cy Young is about as loaded as a race. As I can remember in any of these awards, Mizorowski's up to minus 225, throwing absolute smoke again Friday night against the Cubs. Sanchez, who has been phenomenal as well, plus 350, cooled off a little bit, but again, high bar here for this award. Skeens, who's been shaky, especially shaky by his standards, is 20-1, as is Sale. Ohtani, 25-1. Chase Burns and Wheeler and Yamamoto, all 30-1. Is there a bet to be made there? To me, you know, half the season left. I don't want to lay 225. He could get hurt. He could cool off. I don't know who the bet is. Maybe Burns at 30-1. I don't know if I see a great bet there. Do you, if I gave you, again, $100 free bet or something, who would you use it on?
Missed the boat on Mizorowski. Sanchez has been amazing. I don't like his last couple of starts. I'll give you one. And I don't think he's going to win the award, but you're giving me a free bet, and I think the value's there, and I think the storyline could be there. How about Ohtani? Because it seems like this has been his focus now. Like, he's done everything he needs to do from an offensive standpoint. He's won. Now it's like, hey, the only thing I have left to do maybe in the sport is go and win a Cy Young.
I could see it. And for a while, I mean, he had that 0.7 point ERA, which is unsustainable for anyone, and he has come back to the pack a little bit, but... I would remind people with these awards, the odds, the narrative can change very quickly because we just saw it a few weeks ago with the Conn Smythe where the guy that won it, Stahl, was 100-1 headed into game 3, game 4 of like a 6-game series. These things can change so quickly. Everyone thinks, oh, it's this guy. He's odds on. Look at the odds. And it changes quickly. Before we move on and do some other things, anyone else that you think gets traded at the deadline that you think could swing a race, whether it's Devers, you know, any of the Giants guys, a sleeper to be moved, anyone you have your eye on in terms of, you know, somebody that you think could swing a race, swing the odds?
Scooble's the obvious one. What if the Astros decided to trade Yordan Alvarez?
I've thought of that. Isn't the AL so wide open where you don't
think they will, though? You're asking me who would swing it. He's a guy who would swing it. I just don't think he's getting traded.
Yeah. Devers get traded or no? He swung the bat much better recently.
How can you add that contract over the next 7 years, dude?
Can't you come to a compromise where you say, hey, I'll give you, you know, I'll eat some of the contract. You give me some prospects, but I want, you know, some relief. Can't you figure out something in terms of that?
I mean, I guess for a team that's offensive needy, but like with the uncertain nature of the sport.
Yeah.
That is a risky move to make, man. Like I had a caller on the pod last week suggest Devers to the Yankees. I said, are you insane? I go, he can't field. He's a DH and you have him for 7 more years. No. That's an automatic no. Like, that is a contract that it looks bad now. Well, what does that contract look like in 2 or 3 years?
It's going to be bad. I would love the bat. And, man, Rice has replaced Soto to some extent, which is crazy to think. He cooled off a little bit recently. I would just love Judge to have that complimentary bat. Devers would fill that, but all the things you mentioned.
But where's he
there's
playing?
No position, there's
that's
no position
the
for him.
You can't play him at third base. Dude, when you have a pitching staff, especially when Freedom Rodon are in there, that is so heavily reliant on your third baseman being able to field the ball. You've seen it with Rosario now, who plays like 1 or 2 days a week where he's a butcher at third base. And it's like, oh my goodness, this really hurts you. If that's your third base defense every day, it's a problem. Now, again, if you have an open DH spot, it's like at least a conversation if somebody's taking on a good chunk of the money. If I'm taking on all the money, No way. Not with the way he's playing right now. Can't do it.
No, I'm with you. Who's in the World Series?
Yankees. Phillies.
Little 09 rematch?
I'm rooting for it. And the reason I'm rooting for it is it's the Don Mattingly Yankees storyline. It's the 09 rematch storyline. And what I would love so much about that World Series, Will, is that both teams... it feels like it's getting to a point of now or never time. So the sense of desperation that you would have from both teams would be off the charts. I think most people who come on will tell you that it's going to be Yankees-Dodgers. That's the chalk. But I do think the Dodgers could get picked off here in the National League. I do not think that is crazy at all. The Braves could beat them. I think the Phillies could beat them. I don't think Milwaukee could beat them. If they get Scooble, we'll have a conversation, clearly. Then I think you got to take them seriously. But I think it's one of those three teams in the NL. Dodgers, Braves, Phillies.
Yankees, Phillies, World Series, shop around. I'm looking at DraftKings, 22-1. And if you are of the belief, and I think it's possible, and I've heard Phillies fans tell me, you know what, Phillies don't have the prospects to get Scooble. It feels like you can always find the prospects as long as you're willing to part with, you know, your couple of best guys. He's a rental. You know, and maybe they don't. But I think when there's a will, there's a way. And if you could just, you know, bite the bullet and give away enough of these prospects, you can make it happen. Yankees, Phillies at 22-1 is pretty juicy, man. Can you imagine the storylines and Don Mattingly celebrating his first World Series, doing it at Yankee Stadium if they ever won in the Bronx? That would just be fascinating. I think it's live. Again, if you think Scooble is going to Philly, you got to figure out a way to probably get something on that. And, you know, maybe there's next team odds. I don't have that in Connecticut. I don't know if you have that, but kind of a replacement for if you think, you know, instead of betting Scooble to Philly, just betting a future on Philly might be the way to go. And again, 22-1, that's not the worst bet. And to your point about the Dodgers, they could have easily and probably should have lost to the Blue Jays last year. And the year before, the Padres were up 2-1, home for game 4. They had Cease, who was pretty much their ace on the mound. The Dodgers had a bullpen game. Dodgers lived to tell about that game. They won game 5 with Yamamoto, and then they went on to beat the Yankees in the World Series after beating the Mets in the NLCS. When we come back, we'll wrap with John Jastrzemski. We'll do a little football, do some other things. That is next. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Should have bet more podcast.
Back to Should Have Bet More on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we're back. Should Have Bet More podcast, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. John Jastrzemski, SNY, VSiN Weekend Morning Line. All right, JJ, before we get to football, World Cup. I know, and I don't know if people realize this, you used to be a soccer referee, so you're basically,
believe it or not,
a
yes,
soccer expert.
I don't know about that, but okay, expert. Sure.
Anything on these Monday matches, Brazil minus 280 over Japan, who's plus 215. Germany, a huge favorite over Paraguay. Netherlands, a small favorite over Morocco. And these are just to advance. Any of those matches you're going to be involved in here on Monday?
Yeah, I am. It's the last one you mentioned, Morocco and the Netherlands. I have the Dutch at 17-1. They've been good to me in this tournament. We had them about a week ago. I think they played a Saturday game. They absolutely laid the smackdown. A little scary because I think it's the most appealing round of 32 game, and the price of seeing the Netherlands at only plus 116 and Morocco at plus 260 tells you, like, Morocco's live in the game. They absolutely can win the game. But because we need the future to advance and we're pot committed, give me the Dutch to advance. That's my soccer play for Monday.
How far is the U.S. going? What's a realistic expectation here? Now, it seems like expectations have been, have been rejiggered, readjusted here with their hot start to the tournament.
They sure have. They got to win the next two games. They're going to be a huge favorite against Bosnia. They got to win that one. And then more than likely, it looks like they're going to play Belgium in the round of 16. Let's get to the round of 8, Will. I think if they get to the round of 8, they should be very, very satisfied with how they did in this tournament. Like, extremely satisfied.
All right, NFL, let's get to some of your thoughts here. First off, where are you with your prep? What does your prep consist of when you're getting ready for an NFL season?
Yeah, a lot of looking at schedule. I like to go through depth charts. I like to refresh, like, oh, the addition, subtraction, off-season, like, mental gymnastics. I don't get nuts about the draft classes. I don't. Like, I look to see what teams do, but, you know, other than, like, first-round picks, like, I'm not going to go nuts and be like, oh, they took a couple of corners in the third round. I think they're going to be studs. It's like, okay. I like to go through, like, all that sort of mumbo-jumbo, and then I kind of mentally just say, okay, who do I like and who do I don't? And then I kind of go from there. Like, there are teams that I go into a year, like, before I even start doing this sort of work where I say I like them and I don't like them. But I feel like by the end of the summer, it's like the opinions get enhanced where, like, I'll go through my, like, schedule, roster gymnastics, all this stuff and be like, wow, everything I thought was even more solidified, or maybe it gives me some cold feet. But that's my process.
What is your strongest opinion right now? A team you're higher on than everybody else or a team you're lower on than everyone else? Kind of a contrarian opinion you have as we're a couple months away from getting going.
Oh, okay. A team, I'm trying to, like, be, I'm not giving you the Patriot under. Everyone's saying it now. It's no fun. I feel like I have to give you something different. A team that I am lower on than everybody else, the Detroit Lions.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why. Not only with this situation with the corner, who's probably going to find himself in some serious legal trouble, anything but ideal. My issue with the Lions, Will, I think they missed their window. That, to me, is my biggest problem with Detroit, because everything about, like, their advanced metrics, the roster they're bringing back, the talent, like, they have a lot of talent on the team. But I just look at their group, and I say to myself, is it ever going to be better than what it was a couple of years ago when they went to an NFC championship game and choked a 17-point lead? Then the following year, everything went right. They were a one seed. They lost to Washington. So, like, I'm not suggesting Detroit can't be a playoff team this year, but, like, I see people talking Super Bowl. They're going to be the best team in the NFC. I am not there. So I think that is a take I would give you where I say I am not as high on the Lions as everybody else, especially because I think your Vikings are going to be really tough and spunky. The Bears are well-coached and, I think, ascending. And Green Bay is in it every year. Like, I think they're in the wrong. That's a really, really tough division. So I think the Lions are getting a little bit too much love. And then a team that nobody likes that I will like. See, I was going to say New Orleans, but you're going to tell me everybody likes New Orleans. So maybe I can't say them. Who is a team that nobody likes that I kind of like? I'm, like, going through this in my head. The problem is, well, everybody likes somebody. You know what I mean, dude?
Yes.
Like, we're in this business now where I can't even give you a team because I'm sure you'll be like, oh, well, that guy likes them.
Yeah,
that
sure. Guy.
So, and it, unless I want to go and say, like, oh, I like the Washington Commanders this year, who I don't, by the way. I don't. Even though last year was the year from hell and I'll ask you this, Will. I'm gonna pose this question to you. Sorry, I'm like turning the tables on you. Who do you think is more likely to be a playoff team this year, Commanders or Giants?
Ooh, that's a good one. I guess I would go Commanders just because it's not that long ago they were in the Final Four and in the NFC title game, which is hard to believe. I know there was, you know, some luck in close games. I don't trust Daniels to stay healthy. And I think the thing, too, I mean, he wasn't great when he was healthy last year. I thought Mariota was about as just as good when you look at the stats. But I still think, you know what, don't overreact one way or another. Daniels is a tremendous player. I like him more than I like anything the Giants have. I'll go Washington, but I think it's a good question.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that because of the Jaden Daniels factor.
Yeah. What? All right, I'll give you Super Bowl odds. Rams plus 550. Everyone else 10-1 or longer. Bills, Ravens, Seahawks, all 10-1. Eagles, 16-1, as are the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Chargers. Then the Texans, Packers, 49ers, Lions, all 19-1. It's amazing how many teams are bunched up, JJ. Kind of speaks to the just the parity of the league. The 20-1 teams are the Broncos, the Bengals. Then you get to the 25-1 teams, Cowboys and Bears. Jags, 30-1. Everyone else, 50-1 or longer. Bucks, Steelers, Vikings. Commanders, 60-1. Giants 70-1, Saints 90-1. I could probably stop there. Did anything I rattle off make your ears perk up?
Yeah, definitely. Of course. I think two teams. Houston Texans, because that defense is just that good, and it kind of follows the Seattle pathway. San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, interesting.
They were like a year from hell team with the injuries. Are they going to be that ravaged again? They're really good. And they
seems
match
like
up well with the Rams.
They're always hurt, though.
They
seems,
are always
seems
hurt.
Like they're always hurt for whatever reason. When you
I like Cincy,
me.
Too. I like Cincy, too.
Yeah. I just, you know, with you mentioned Houston. So much to me is coaching quarterback. Stroud, it's amazing. 2 years ago, it's like you teams would be cutting in line to get this guy. Young quarterback, not only rookie of the year, but like MVP candidate. His regression is just fascinating, almost scary. It's like you almost have to like question what you're seeing, question what you know, because he was about as can't miss as it gets. And the coach, I just don't know about the coach. Like to me, he coached a terrible game in New England. I know sloppy weather, but you had your defense. Your defense, you could have basically just punted every time you got the ball and you would have had a 50-50 shot with how good their defense was. For him to let Stroud lose the game, I thought was really bad. I don't love him as a coach.
You know what, though? His teams make the playoffs every year.
They do.
They make the playoffs every year. That game was awful. I can't sugarcoat it. And hey, here's the synopsis, Will. If Sam Darnold can win a Super Bowl, CJ Stroud can win a Super Bowl.
It's a fair point.
Right?
It's a fair point. Yes. Look, it's
I think that calculus has changed now when you got that great defense. And the league is trending now more in a defensive direction than it ever has been in quite some time.
Yeah, especially I think there was a stat last year that a lot of the top quarterback cap hits didn't make the playoffs. Mahomes and Prescott, and you go down the line, there was like five or six of them where, yeah, maybe it's a one-off, maybe it's a kind of a fluke, but maybe there is something to the fact that, you know what, these quarterbacks just make so much money, better off with a balanced team. I don't know if I buy into that. You still need a really good quarterback, but the point is taken. Last minute, I've been asking all my guests this. Summer, slower sports time, any TV shows you're catching up on or you'd recommend?
Oh, Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV is great. Trying to think of another show that I'm... Right now, I need a new show, so give me a recommendation.
I'm catching up, too. I've heard Euphoria was good. I've heard mixed reviews about Euphoria on HBO.
Euphoria is good. It's a little dark. It's not great if you're a parent, but it's the last season's a little off the rails, but the first two are really good. It's worth a watch if you haven't seen it.
I don't want dark. I've caught clips and pieces here, and it was funny, and I laughed. But if you're telling me it's dark, maybe.
Oh, it definitely is dark.
Interesting.
Definitely dark.
There's so many platforms now between Apple and Netflix, and there's just 100 different ways to watch these shows. It's it can be overwhelming. JJ, I appreciate the time, man. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Of course, New York, Sunday, Thursday, and bonus show, 1 point during the week, SOY, 5 nights a week, and then hanging out with you, buddy, Sunday, 9 to 12, Visa Weekend Morning Line.
All right, that will do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Should Have Bet More podcast. Stay tuned. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.